Getting there on time just isn't good enough. Traffic and weather on the 10s with Wills and Snyder in the morning on WTAM 1100, Cleveland's News Radio.
It's Will's Ways to Save. Our buddy Matt Granite, Channel 3's Morning News, has led us through the week with savings on all sorts of items and shopping, looking around, you know, Christmas, holidays. You want to give something to help make a memory, but you don't want to spend a whole lot of money. I mean, come on, just you and me. Let's be honest. Well, Granite's got you figured out this morning. WTAM.com, keyword save. Morning, pal.
Good morning, Bill. And the nice thing is the people you give this memory to, and I've seen it. I've watched grandparents cry receiving this gift. I've seen parents react more to this than anything I've seen, and the whole gift will cost you $23.99, including shipping.
I love it. Tell me about it.
And they'll think you're so much more generous because it's an 85% off reduction. If you think where most of your memories are photography-wise or video-wise, where are they, Bill?
They're pictures, they're in books, or they're on film, and they're not out anywhere I can see them.
And that's the problem, yeah. Right? You want to share your memories. And if you're listening right now and you have older photos that you want to digitize, or you have phone memories, or for example, a lot of your best photos are on Instagram or some other form of Facebook or social media, the upload tool tied today's deal at WTAM.com, keyword safe, very easy. You upload your photo in about a half a second, and then it, with very easy parameters, helps you make beautiful photo canvas print. Why is this so significant? Well, this company, unlike all those other offers you see on Groupon, is made in the USA. Amazing customer service built right here. And the best part is these beautiful photo canvases come assembled, not shipped from China, but right here in the US, $23.99, ready to hang, ready to mount. And if you want to go a little bit bigger, there's some reductions where I think you can get two for 33 today. Just unbelievable deals.
And you've done a couple of checks, not just you, but some other customers. The service, as you say, is great. Quality is very good as well. And really for an amazing low price. Yeah,
it is. Customer service is unprecedented. The company, which is not paying us to talk about them, superseded every other company we've tested. To date, Bill, I think I probably had 25 canvas prints made. In fact, if you guys want to see what I made, got photos of my wife, my sister, dog, family. WTAM.com, keyword save, but it's under 25 bucks today. You will not do better on anything for Christmas or Hanukkah.
Check it out this morning, Matt Granite. Watch him on 3. Follow him on Twitter. He's also posting things all the time for you at Matt Granite. Have a wonderful weekend. Back here Monday at the same time, pal. Take care.
Awesome.
You get Mike Snyder Sports. Mornings 15 and 45 past. Ironically, Browns play the Packers this weekend.
Yeah, they do. And their new GM, Bill, part of his career was with the Green Bay Packers, as the Browns do have an experienced football man in their front office. And what a day it was in Berea. Former Chiefs GM John Dorsey was hired last night. The announcement came just after 9, less than 12 hours after Sashi Brown was fired. And Jimmy Haslam had said that Hugh Jackson would stay on as the head coach. So who is John Dorsey? Well, former Browns GM Phil Savage, part of WTAM's Best Browns Coverage, says,
well, John has a player personnel background. I mean, he's a former road scout before he began to advance and get titled positions where, you know, you began more management type things. And he did a good job at Kansas City. And the Chiefs were a winning franchise.
Yeah, it really, his tenure ended there this summer, and there were really nothing definitive in terms of that, something about communication problems, whatever. Dorsey is now here. So now, after going out of the box with the Sashi Brown analytical approach, it's now a traditional football man that will be running things. Sashi Brown, in a brief statement last night, basically said, my record is just not going to cut it. And he thanked Browns fans and feels the day is coming when we'll be saying go Browns in the playoffs. Well, that's a ways away right now, but Hugh Jackson now stays on as head coach. So you knew when you saw that announcement yesterday that they must have had their man in place, and it turns out it was Dorsey. Hugh bristled at the suggestion of a power struggle with Sashi Brown, but did admit,
you know, you look at it, and I'm just a bigger part of it as Sashi is. Right now we're a 1-20, you know, 1-27, 28 football team, and again, I take my responsibility in that too. I got to work through and get better as well. But at the same time, you know, I don't think it all should go towards him. I think we all got to do our part and do it better.
Well, evidently, Dorsey is okay with Hugh, at least for now, as he comes in a statement last night from Dee and Jimmy Haslam. They said, "We are thrilled to have John Dorsey lead our football operations." For Dorsey, in a statement, he said, "Football is what I know. It's what I love. I have a feel for the mentality of the fans in Cleveland. I know and have realized quickly how passionate Jimmy and Dee are about bringing a winning team to the city and would not have taken the job if I did not think the right ownership was in place." So we go forward. We'll have more on this story throughout the morning. Looks like Paul D. Podesta, the key analytical guy, will stay in the organization, at least initially, as Dorsey moves in. Now, there is a game to play. The Browns will try again to get win number one Sunday when they host Green Bay. NFL week began last night. The Falcons over the Saints, 20-17. And the Cavs seek a franchise record 14th win in a row tonight when they meet the Pacers in Indiana. 7 o'clock tip right here. Home of the Indians and the Cavs, Mike Snyder, News Radio WTAM 1100.
Bill O'Reilly joins Glenn Beck in the 10 o'clock hour this morning on News Radio WTAM 1100. They will have a potpourri of topics, including Al Franken.
In the coming weeks, I will be resigning as a member of the United States Senate. Some of the allegations against me are simply not true. Others I remember very differently. I am leaving while a man who has bragged on tape about his history of sexual assault sits in the Oval Office, and a man who has repeatedly preyed on young girls campaigns for the Senate with the full support of his party.
Franken says, "Yeah, I know you're pushing me out, but look at these other guys." Let's talk about this and some more. Sharon Reed joins me this morning on News Radio WTAM 1100. He tried to hold on, but they're politically, there's just no way for him to do that, right?
Right. The pressure had just gotten too much. You know, you had those dozens of, especially the Senate women coming forward. And also, I think that keeping in mind that they're looking to kind of have a clean slate should Roy Moore next Tuesday become the next senator out of Alabama. So I think that's hanging over everyone as well. And, you know, it was just a few hours later. I mean, this has been some week on Capitol Hill. You had an Arizona congressman, Trent Franks, who announced his plans to resign as well over some sexual misconduct allegations. And so who knows? And there are a lot of rumors that there could be a lot more names being tossed about sexual misconduct.
Franken's seat will stay on the Democrats' side since there's a Democratic governor of Minnesota for now, at least, and then a special election,
right.
I guess. Yeah.
Right. They're going to have a special election in November 2018. Meantime, the governor has said that he will have a name soon. There's a lot of speculation, a lot of reporting that he's going to name Lieutenant Governor Tina Smith, who would be more or less a caretaker, wouldn't run for the actual election. And then there could be a lot of pressure because a lot of Republicans are hoping for a good, strong candidate to put up against whoever would run on the Democratic side there in Minnesota. So that could be a seat in play.
All right. Let me get you out here on the business of the nation. Government keeps running for a couple weeks. Is that right?
Two more weeks, as we thought. They did pass that short-term spending bill that gets it to December 22nd. However, there are still a lot of differences, especially when it comes to immigration and dealing with the undocumented immigrants, the DACA, the Dreamers. And so that'll be discussed in the next couple of weeks. The president did have his meeting with the Democratic leaders as well as the Republican leaders yesterday. He described it, they're all well unified and well knit together group of people, he called them, but there's still a lot of differences before they can actually come up with a two-year spending plan.
All right, Sharon Reed on some of the news of the morning. Have a good weekend, okay?
Thank you.
Fox's Chris Wallace joins me on WTAM 1100. Before we look ahead, if you didn't watch it last Sunday, look it up. Fascinating show for an hour. The big plane was behind you. Good stuff out at the Reagan Library. I really enjoyed that.
Well, thank you. It was such a trip down memory lane for me because, of course, I covered Ronald Reagan for 6 years in his presidency. The plane you're talking about was Air Force One that took him more than a half million miles around the world. I will say it was a little bit of an indication of the passage of time. I took my wife on the plane and walked through it, and I remember it as being just incredibly state-of-the-art and glamorous. And the thing looks like a relic now. It is probably
sure.
40 years old. And
right.
I turned to my wife, Lorraine, and I said, "Honey, am I a relic?" Cause...
No. You look younger now than then. And I want to bring up, Chris had a fascinating interview with George Shultz, who was there in front of so much history. And you put an interesting question to him about North Korea. We negotiated. We lived with the Soviets for so long. We had thousands of missiles pointed at each other. North Korea can't quite come up with one, yet the whole world, at least we, are so concerned about them.
Yeah, and I guess it is a good question, because we had the policy of mutual assured destruction, the idea they wouldn't strike us, because if they did, they knew that we would strike them. The difference, at least according to policymakers, is that Kim Jong-un is a madman and are, you know, in a hermit kingdom, cut off from the rest of the world. And not to say that they trusted the Soviets, but they thought they were more rational players than they think Kim is. I'll tell you, though, it is conceivable to me we're going to have to live with a nuclear North Korea. I mean, of course, they already have nuclear bombs. They're not able to put them yet on long-range missiles.
Right.
But I wonder in the end whether we won't just live with them as opposed to starting a preemptive war that would kill hundreds of thousands of people.
Chris, let me get you out of here on a historic week with Jerusalem. You've covered many presidents who have all tried this Middle East peace. Who knows how this will play out? But let's face it, no other president did this way in saying, okay, finally, we will say, yes, it is Jerusalem. Our embassy will be there for business.
Yeah, I mean, the answer is we don't know how it's going to play out. You know, some could argue at least you got to give the president high marks for keeping his promise. A lot of other presidents said they were going to recognize Jerusalem as the capital. They'd get into office. They wouldn't do it. This president kept his promise. But I think you have to see what it is going to do in terms of blowback in the Middle East, what it's going to do in terms of the peace process, although, frankly, there isn't much of one now. So I think you got to give the president an incomplete here, and let's just wait and see whether it works or it doesn't work.
A lot going on, a lot to cover come Sunday morning on Fox News Sunday with Chris Wallace. Thanks, sir.
Thank you, Bill.
Again, Bill O'Reilly in the 10 o'clock with Glenn Beck, 10 o'clock hour. And, of course, Rush with his say on all this. Follows the news at noon on News Radio, WTAM 1100. Movie for the weekend. Weather sounds like it'll be perfect to get in a theater and get out of the snow and the cold, I think. News Radio, WTAM 1100. This is Bill Wills. Movie guy Kevin Carr joins me from FatGuysAtTheMovies.com. Hi, Kevin.
How you doing, sir?
Got some big releases coming up over Christmas time, but this weekend, a couple new ones. Let's start with The Disaster Artist, Seth Rogen in this, Zac Efron, James Franco. What's this thing about?
Well, first of all, to understand what The Disaster Artist is, you have to have seen the movie The Room. Now, not the movie Room that Alison Brie, not the one that Brie Larson won an Academy Award for.
Not the good one.
Not the good one. The Room is this movie that was made about 15 years ago that is an absolute epic train wreck of a film. And it's so bad that it kind of ends up twisting around and I wouldn't say becoming good, but becoming entertaining because of such a mess that it is. And the movie, The Disaster Artist, is the story of how this film got made. It reminds me a little bit of movies like Ed Wood or American Movie, where you have this story of how you get this epic disaster that gets put on film and why it becomes that. So this stars and is directed by and written by James Franco, and he plays the guy who, Tommy Wiseau, who's the guy who made the movie, and his brother David plays Greg Sestero, who's sort of like his wingman making this film. And if you've seen the trailers, you might think that James Franco's just acting insane, but really he's not. He's dead on with this performance. This is a hilarious movie about dreams that you shouldn't have and why you shouldn't achieve them sometimes, but boy, is it wildly entertaining, especially if you've spent any sort of time on an independent film set. You should really appreciate this movie.
I was interested in why you would want to do a movie about a movie that was so bad, but as you say, with a good script and some good actors, the interaction was good then, huh?
Well, the script of the Disaster Artist is good. Yes,
okay.
the script of The Room is awful, but hilariously so. And The Room has become legend in being this. They have midnight movies, midnight screenings of
right.
It. And it's so ludicrous and terrible that it's almost amazing that it got made. And this is that amazing story of how it happened.
The Disaster Artist out this weekend. Kevin Carr with me at FatGuysTheMovies.com. All right, get your AARP card out. Morgan Freeman, Tommy Lee Jones, Rene Russo, just getting started.
Yeah, this one is, well, it's kind of a Christmas movie, because it takes place at Christmas, but of course, it's in Palm Beach, so it's, nice and warm and sunny and sweaty, and, it takes place in a retirement home where Morgan Freeman is sort of the guy who runs it, and he's the guy who gets everything and makes it kind of like this big party central for senior citizens, and, Tommy Lee Jones shows up as this new guy in the field, and so they're trying to sort of vie for each other's, the place for the coolest guy in the old folks' home, and
yeah,
also vie for the affections of Rene Russo, who is there to from the corporate to kind of put everything back in order. There's also a little bit somebody has sort of like is hiding from the mob for some reason too. Mm. That's also tied in there. This is an okay film. I mean, it's definitely made for. I mean, anybody can laugh at it, but it's made for the senior citizen in mind,
okay.
Especially if you're not the boring old senior citizen that would be sort of stereotypical. It's good actors too. So I mean, yeah, while it's not the strongest script, it still has some entertaining moments.
Yeah, they'll need some money. Morgan Freeman, Tommy Lee Jones, Rene Russo in Just Getting Started, and then The Disaster Artist, which is all about the making of the horrible movie The Room, but Kevin seems to like The Disaster Artist. Kevin Carr is at FatGuysTheMovies.com. Next weekend, we got any of these big new ones coming out? Yeah, I know the Jurassic Park trailer dropped last night.
Yeah, well, you know, there's this little movie called Star Wars The Last Jedi that I might be able to talk about. I don't know if you've heard about it. It's a series that's somewhat popular.
I gotta go look. Wikipedia. I'll do a little search. All right, Kev, thanks. We'll connect next week. Check out his website, FatGuysTheMovies.com, before you get out and check out a flick this weekend. Kevin Carr, thanks, pal.
All right.
Best team coverage of the Browns on News Radio WTAM 1100. Bill Wills, Mike Snyder alongside, Terry Pluto, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com, graduate Benedictine, 8-time Ohio Sports Writer of the Year, and our morning Friday update about the Browns brought to you by Universal Windows Direct. All right, good morning, Terry.
Hello, nothing happened this week.
24 hours, Sashi out, John Dorsey in. Am I led to believe that the Jimmy or D, one of them just happened to have John Dorsey's number on their cell phone or what?
Well, they probably did, and we started talking to him in October. So that was one of those things. Dorsey actually, it's kind of strange how he was fired in Kansas City because it happened after the 2017 draft, and they extended Andy Reid's contract. They didn't extend his. But look, he was 43-21 as a GM with the Chiefs. That has real appeal to me because I think he took over a team that was 5-11.
Well, he comes in now, and Terry, when we spoke with you yesterday, yep, when we saw the initial statement from the Haslams regarding the change and that Hugh Jackson would stay on, we really felt that they had to have their guy in place, and obviously they've talked with Dorsey about keeping Hugh on board, at least going into next year.
Clearly they did, or he wouldn't have taken it. And I was talking to some GMs after that, and several mentioned to me, you know, it's an attractive job coming in, because of all the picks that Sashi had piled up. And it would be one of those things, okay, you know, Dorsey really doesn't know Hugh. If that's part of what I need to do in the beginning to take on Hugh and hopefully work with him, and then get those picks in the process, I'll make that trade-off and hope it works. But I still, frankly, don't like that style of doing it. I kind of like a chain of command thing, but I feel much better now than, say, when we talked at noon.
Yeah, I agree. And again, if they're ever going to get this right, they don't have to necessarily agree on, we don't want them to agree on everything, but
no,
they've got to be unified within. And certainly the resources are there now. Dorsey's got a pretty good track record of a talent evaluation. My gosh, Terry, he's got resources in front of him, doesn't he?
He does. I mean, one of the things he made some mistakes at Kansas City is he spent a ton of money on free agents and re-signing his players. So what that does tell you is he's not going to be just watch talent of his own guys walk out the door. He may overpay to keep them, and he'll pay, you know, he made a trade for Alex Smith, for example, to bring in to stabilize that quarterback spot right away. So this is one of the things we did discuss, is when analytics can put you in a really good shape to make a whole bunch of impact moves right away, and that's exactly where he is.
John Dorsey came up through the Packer organization in many ways, and of course the Browns on the field will play Green Bay
on Sunday. Terry Pluto, Cleveland Plain Dealer, cleveland.com with us. You go back to the order. You know, in life, you get out of school, you find your passion, you get married. Yeah, I mean, there's a certain order of things you normally do to succeed in life. And when it comes to the Browns, you know, you hire, get your GM, get your people around, pick a coach. We never quite do it in order, it seems like, around here.
Not too often. And, I mean, frankly, the Browns have tried almost every sort of model you can try. They haven't stuck to any of them for very long. I guess, let's put it this way, they must have done a very good selling job with Dorsey in terms of contract and what they're paying him. The picks and salary cap room, that's a big deal, too. And the fact is, look, you do have Myles Garrett. You do have some players that you like. You know, hopefully you're going to talk Joe Thomas into coming back. You have Joel Bitonio.
Right.
It's not like there's nobody here. And just you have to work it out with the coach. And the coach has to understand, look, just because, frankly, you won a power struggle with the last GM, and you did, no matter what you say, you better not try it again.
So are you saying that Sashi Brown left enough good stuff for the new guy that he should get a Super Bowl ring when the Browns win?
Well, I'm not saying that, but if they do win, you could point it back and say that, hey, he gave me an opportunity to make the moves. And he, just like Chris Grant gave David Griffin, I think it was 7 picks and all kinds of stuff to trade and everything, to add players around the roster when LeBron James came in.
Now, they win a Super Bowl, I'll buy the ring and give it to Sasha.
Yes. Yeah, in fact, everybody like ever walked through Berea maybe could get a ring.
Best team coverage of the Browns.
Super Bowl
Terry
Browns.
Pluto, reading more on Twitter, at Terry Pluto. Good reading today's Cleveland Plain Dealer, cleveland.com. All right, thanks, Terry.
Thank you, guys.
Best team coverage of the Browns Sunday morning. As you're heading to the game, have us on. The crew will be at the Naughty Mermaid West 9th Sunday before the Browns-Packers. Universal Windows Direct Countdown to kickoff, hosted by Mark Munch, Bishop, Andre Knott, Josh Cribbs, Mike Snyder. 9-1, best team coverage of the Browns on News Radio, WTAM 1100. 54, News Radio, WTAM 1100. Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder. Your morning Browns update. My goodness, a lot over the last 24 hours. Got a game on Sunday. Every Friday we catch up with Bernie Kosar, number 19. He was in Akron last night signing the book. And a couple things from Bernie about the game and Sashi leaving in Berea, huh, Mike?
Yeah, and no question about that. Yeah, the game's almost secondary this week now, Bill, as they look for that first win. But Bernie, I think one of the things that people were talking about yesterday, that, well, they make the change with Sashi, but keep Hugh Jackson as head coach.
In general, firing your coach during the season isn't optimal, and very rarely does it lead to a successful outcome. And I think that the head coach and the general manager, though, need to have a working relationship. Obviously, by what happened today, that appears not to have been happening.
So, going forward now, Hugh Jackson, John Dorsey.
I think the next set of people that are working with the Haslams are going to work with Hugh and see if they could work together and give him a chance with maybe some more of his personnel that he was thinking about and have been alluding to over the last month or so in some of these press conferences.
Bernie, when you look at all the picks they have and the high picks that they have and plus the cap room going into next year, this is the time. They've got to get it right.
If you could set yourself back more than a decade, I think we're at that serious a crossroads again now to where these draft picks and free agent signings, a combination of the two, because we are so far under the cap, have to hit on some of these. Or, yes, unfortunately, another bad cycle could continue.
And you look at a traditional football guy and analytics working together.
This isn't, I think, a crucifixion of analytics. I think analytics is here to stay. It's just what percentage of it stays, how much value do you put on it, and how much value do you put on other things. And like life, it's probably a combination and a balance of all of those things.
Now, there is a game to play Sunday as the Browns host the Packers. Your thoughts?
Green Bay with Brent Hundley played fantastic last week in kind of getting a game and keeping them alive in the playoff picture. It's been well documented. Aaron Rodgers has been practicing a little bit. Really looks like he's on course to possibly come back next week. Hundley, I think they're hoping that he could hold the fort down and get another win and keep them in the playoff spot. I still think it's tough to win games on the road. Even though Green Bay won last week, I think Hundley only threw for like 84 or 88 yards. That's not the passing efficiency that you want. So you're going to have a quarterback on the other side that's relatively inexperienced also. Dom Capers provides a lot of challenges from the defensive side of it. He's the defensive coordinator for the Packers. So Clay Matthews Jr. And how we control their pass rush, I think, will be important to see how Kaiser handles it.
An opportunity is there for them on Sunday, isn't it?
The opportunity is there. We got to take advantage of one of these for sure.
Bernie, thanks. Talk to you next week.
Sounds good.
Packers, Browns Sunday. Vegas has the Packers by 3. Best team coverage of the Browns. If you go into the game, join us at the Naughty Mermaid West 9th Sunday before the Browns-Packers game. Universal Windows direct countdown to kickoff. Hosted by Mark Munch, Bishop, Andre Knott, Josh Cribbs, Mike Snyder, 9-1. Best team coverage of the Browns, News Radio, WTAM 1100. Elite Cavaliers coverage now, News Radio, WTAM 1100. Cavs going back-to-back at Indiana tonight, home against the 76ers tomorrow night. And your Friday Cavs update brought to you by Huntington, one of a bank that believes in looking out for its customers. Welcome to Huntington. Bill Wills, Mike Snyder alongside with the Cavs, part of that world champion Laker team, and part of the Cavs radio broadcast, of course, is Jim Jones. A good Friday morning. How are you, Jim?
Good, guys. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. All right, Pacers, you know, guys, this is another kind of reminder. You go back and look last time they played, Indiana beat them, but it's kind of like that's the mark before they had things figured out, shall we say, Jim? Is that about right?
Yeah. It is. And this Indiana team, they've done a good job, you know, just trying to get their players together, and everybody seems to be playing well. I guess they're on a little bit of a winning streak. Well, there's two things, you know, about tonight. Well, probably three things. But the main thing is that we don't play well here. You know, we don't, for some reason, I don't know if it's the food we're eating or what, but we just don't play well here. The second thing is that it's the first game of a back-to-back, and, you know, I still go back to last year, how we struggled in the games in the second night. But, of course, we have a bench, and we're a lot better, but we're ahead of the curve. So we should be fine tonight if we just come out and, I say, play a little scared, guys. You know, play with a little fear in our hearts.
A little,
you know,
fear.
Keep
right.
us motivated, yeah?
There you go. You know, Jim, a few of the guys have talked about the fact that they've not talked about the streak and just playing better, and the streak's kind of just happening. We can talk about it. It would be a franchise record, 14 in a row. And when you think of where this team was when they last played Indiana, that is quite a statement for the way this group has started to come together, isn't it?
I think so. You know, we all knew that we had talent, and it was so frustrating to watch them go out there and play as badly as they did. But even during when they were struggling, Mike, remember, they were scoring points. They just couldn't stop anybody. So, but now the defense is playing well, and they're playing with confidence. I think they're motivated. You know, they're probably not looking at it as a streak as much as let's just keep winning. That's what players look at. The other thing is that there's a team ahead of them in the East that I know they definitely want to play as well as, or at least get as much recognition. And so those are motivating factors to players. But the main thing is they just want to continue to play well. And when they don't play well, still win the games.
You know, Jim, you just said something, too, I wanted to get back to. Defense has been a big reason why they put this streak together. But still, to ultimately win in the NBA, you got to be able to score. And even when they were struggling, as you said, they still were able to score points, weren't they?
Yeah, Mike, and that was the crazy thing. You know, a lot of times, even when teams aren't playing well, you know, they get a certain amount of points off their defense. Well, it wasn't that way. You know, we were scoring. We just couldn't stop anybody when we needed to get stops at any point in the game, and I think that was the main frustration. But the big players have made an adjustment. Kevin Love has finally settled in. I think he likes playing center because he knows he's not going to be out there alone on the defensive end, and then he can do what he wants to do on the elbow and on the wing. And these stupid teams are still switching, and so every time they switch, you know, we've been able to take advantage of it by putting Kevin or LeBron in the post.
Talking Cavs with Jim Jones for another minute. Some noise that maybe Isaiah Thomas getting a little workout this week, I guess, at Cleveland Clinic Court.
Yeah, he did earlier. Home, yeah,
right. Jim,
yeah.
Be nice to have him back, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would. I mean, come on, guys. Hey, you know the crazy thing about it is they haven't been talked on television, on NBA TV. Nobody's talking about Isaiah. This guy was second team NBA. He averaged almost 29 points a game. He was the second best fourth quarter scorer in the NBA. He carried that team, and nobody's talking about this kid. What the heck is wrong with our league?
We'd love to have him back in his lineup or in the
lineup. Well, that day is getting closer.
Remember this: when Isaiah comes back, remember this: pick and roll, high dribble screen. That's going to really enhance our offense. We'll be 10 points better when Isaiah comes back because of his ability to come off that high dribble screen and do all the options that nobody in this league seems to be able to stop is the high dribble screen. I just think that it just takes us to the next level. If, you know, if there is a next level, we're going to get there.
Sounds good. Jim Jones's take tonight. Window Nation Cavs now. Mike Snyder at 6. They'll tip it off at 7 from Indianapolis on News Radio WTAM 1100, home of the Cavaliers. Back against Philly tomorrow night, 8 o'clock. Jim, thanks much. We'll catch up next week.
Thank you, guys.